chapter 22. You have your bulletin for all the announcements, so be aware of that with mission, our evangelist Roy Brewer, with a pop blessing, different things that are going on. And some of the things that are kind of in the mix, we're hoping to possibly, in the near future, add a few other ministries to our calendar as well, so keep that in prayer. But 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 10, I am going to read to you one of the most disturbing passages of all Scripture. How about that? Does that make you excited? It's one of the most disturbing passages you will ever read. Now, personally, the scariest of all time is in the New Testament when Jesus tells a man who was casting out demons and doing miracles that he was an evil doer and that he would not enter the kingdom of God. That's the one that's probably the most scary, but this one is right up there with disturbing. So here we go. Verse 10. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made for himself horns of iron and said, Thus says the Lord, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so and said, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. Now, so far, I'm not disturbed. Okay? Even though I know, having read earlier in the chapters, that this is actually not God's plan for them to be victorious. You actually know this going in, but this is what is being prophesied to the kings. By the way, one of those kings is a godly king, and one of them is not. So these two kings are coming together for war, and one is not a godly one, the other is. And so you'll catch on as we move forward. Verse 13, is that where I left off? Okay, thank you. And the messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, no, this is like politics to the hilt. Behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably. Do you think they're putting the thumb on the scale a little bit? So they're basically saying, okay, Micaiah, you're supposed to come and prophesy. Just make sure you say what everybody else did. Micaiah says this in verse 14, As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak. In other words, I'm going to say what God says. Period. You can't tell me how to speak on God's behalf. I like that. So far, I'm not too disturbed. Verse 15, And when he had come to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, Here's the words. Now you're gonna get a kick out of this. He says, Go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. Well, wait a minute now. He actually said what everybody else said, right? He actually got on board. He said just what they asked him to do, and so he says the very same thing. But look at verse 16. But the king said to him, How many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Why didn't he accept those words? They were just like everybody else. By the way, the king that's answering here is not the godly one. Just to kind of tip you off a little bit. Well, let me reread that passage that we just read, and I think I'll do it the way it was actually said. Go up in triumph, the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. Did I not get sarcastic enough? I was really trying hard. Maybe I got to work on my sarcasm. I'm out of practice. He said it with such juicy sarcasm that the king was angry. Speak to me only what the Lord says to you. In other words, I know you're being sassy and you're being sarcastic. And how dare you speak to me in that tone? And so he wants him to speak the word of the Lord. But he doesn't. Verse 17. We're not quite disturbed yet. We're just a little curious. And he said, I saw, here's Micaiah saying what the Lord actually says to him. I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his home in peace. Okay, now there's a slap in the face. He basically said, king, you're not a king. Your people are scattered as sheep and they don't have a master. They don't have a leader. They don't have a shepherd they can trust. Everybody should just plain out, go home. Of course, the king didn't like that. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil? Come on, let's all have fun with this. I mean, we're not disturbed yet. We're still having fun here. Because we have a really good sense of humored prophet that's sarcastic to the king, and then he says what God actually said, basically slaps him in the face with the truth, and he basically says, you're not a king at all. And if they all follow you, they're in trouble. They should just go home. And then, of course, the king turns to the godly king, and he says, see, I told you so. I told you he wouldn't say something good for me. Verse 19, Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing beside him on his right hand and on his left. Here's where we're going to get disturbed. Verse 20, the Lord said, who will entice Ahab? How many know who Ahab is? Ahab's not a good king. This is the king we're speaking of. Who will entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said one thing, one said another. Then verse 21, a spirit came before and stood before the Lord, saying, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, by what means? And he said, I will go out, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do so. Now I'm disturbed. I am. We have God, the creator of all things, Jehovah, in a council once again, very similar to the council that took place with Job. And we have this plan that has to happen because it's already been prophesied that this battle will take place, that they will lose, and that Ahab will die, and the dogs will lick up his blood. This has already been prophesied, and he's having a council, and he's like, how are we going to get him to do this? It's got to be done. And a spirit comes along and says, I will go out from here, and I will go to his prophets, and I will be a lying spirit to them. Now, here's the thing that's puzzling to me. Can a good angel lie? I would probably argue on that side of no. But on the other hand, why would an evil angel want to do God's bidding? Why would he say, hey, I'll help you out a little bit. I'll make sure your prophecies are true. I'll go out and I'll lie to the guys, and they'll all think it's from you. Ha ha! How many are disturbed right now? You're like, whoa, this is an amazing passage of Scripture. But we're not done yet. Now we're going to get back to some fun parts with it. Okay. Now, therefore, the Lord... behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all of these your prophets. So that's what he says to them. These guys before you, they think they're hearing from you, but they're hearing from a lying spirit. The Lord has declared disaster for you. Verse 24, then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, good enough, close enough, right? He came near and he struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, how did the Spirit of the Lord go from me to speak to you? I don't know why, but I think that's really cool what he says. I mean, he just like smacks him and says, basically, where did the Spirit go from me to you? What happened here? So he really believes he's hearing from God. And Micaiah says this, behold, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide yourself. And the king of Israel said, seize Micaiah, take him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him meager rations of bread and water until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken to me. And he said, hear, all you peoples. Wow. Lord, this is a passage of Scripture that certainly reveals things that are beyond us. They're beyond our understanding exactly how to comprehend all that took place. And yet, Lord, the bottom line is your will was accomplished perfectly. As we could continue to read, we would find out the battle did take place. We would find out that Ahab basically covered himself as in some kind of a disguise, thinking he would not find any harm to come to him, and yet somehow, randomly, an arrow struck him, and he died just as you prophesied. You are sovereign. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are our God. And as we consider the words of this passage of Scripture, I pray, God, that you will help us to know how we can hear from you, just as Micaiah did. Not to be deceived by the enemy of our souls, not to be deceived by any highfalutin prophecies that are given by people that are false prophets, not to be deceived by the world, but to know you and to know your word and to know your spirit. As we continue forward in this message, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be disciplined in our search to walk with you and to hear your voice. May we learn the lessons that are shown in this passage and others. Help me, Lord, to speak your words of truth. Help us all, Lord, to apply them. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I started just a short 3-part series on hearing God. And I said some pretty radical things that I actually believe God speaks, and that I hear, and that you can hear his voice. I believe that wholeheartedly. So many times I can give you example after example after example of how the Spirit of God has spoken to my heart and my soul. There are times where it's been so clear, so incredible that I would describe it as if it were audible. And I've talked to others who have shared their same testimonies. You know, one in particular I just learned of, where the question was basically asked to the Father, "Did you say something? Did you just say something?" Because it was so obviously, boom, there it was, a specific word that could not be avoided. And yet, in the world today, we certainly do have to be careful that we are not deceived by the enemy. And so as we consider hearing God's voice, I want to speak a little bit to the side of having safeguards in place. Because, as an example that I threw out there last week, David Koresh believed he was hearing from God. I don't think he intentionally meant to do all that he did on his own accord. Now, I could be wrong. I absolutely could be wrong. But I also think it's quite possible and even likely that he believed the voice he heard was God and led him down a path that led to his destruction and so many others. And he's just one of so many that we could talk about. So I want to be encouraging you to hear God's voice, to seek his voice, but I also want you to be careful. One of the things that I'm going to share, it's just kind of a funny thing, but one of the scariest words you could ever be heard at a Bible college is these words: "God told me," and then it goes along with the guy to the girl. "God told me we're supposed to be a thing, that we're going to get married someday." I'm sure that would never happen, right? Never, never, never. Actually, God did reveal things very, very awesome with me and Tina and our relationship in all the ways that we were connected through the time that we had there. But ultimately, there were others that said, "God told me." And the best response you could have as a person going to Bible college is this: "When God tells me, I'll let you know." Right? Because 9 times out of 10, the "God told me" thing about the relationship, that the guy wants the girl, is just the guy wants the girl, or the girl wants the guy. It's not God. But how do we differentiate our passion and his spirit? I can't give you all the answers to that. Honestly, I can't. I wish I could. I wish I could give you some kind of formula to 100% guarantee that every time you think you've heard the voice of God, you have. And every time you think it was the devil or some evil spirit, it was. But honestly, there are times where we get the two mixed up. God is actually doing something in our life and we're, oh, I speak against the devil. I speak against Satan and his attack. And God's going, wait a minute, this is me here. I'm doing this. Come on. And then there's times where, oh yes, that's what God's saying to me. And it's not him, it's you. Or maybe a lying spirit that's in the world. Either way, that's kind of tough. We need to be careful in our church to be sure we know it's God. And I say that especially for those who are Pentecostal. We've made some bad mistakes in times. Let's be sure it's God. Amen? For someone who is so reserved that they could never even imagine God would speak in the first place, this message may not be all that disturbing to you. But I hope that you will consider last week to say, let's move beyond all we have is God's word and just live on that alone. Because we do have God's word, which is solid, and that's our point number one. But God also speaks to us individually and privately. And you are missing out on amazing miracles by his hand in your life if you don't think he speaks. But there has to be a balance. Amen? So the challenge for us today is not only to hear God's voice, but let's have some safeguards in place. Number one, know the scriptures. God will not go against his own word. I can't explain it any more simple than that. It cannot be emphasized enough that you should be studying his word and choose a translation that you can read and choose a translation, please, that you can understand. If you don't know which one to grab, if you have questions about it, ask somebody who's a mature believer and just get some advice if you're not sure and go with that, but certainly study and read his word. Amen? Your current situation may not be covered by a specific verse. It may not be. However, the principle of God's truths will never be contradicted. Know his word. Look at Matthew with me. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Oops, I'm in the wrong chapter. Let's move a couple more. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus is about to begin his ministry after having been baptized. The Holy Spirit descended upon him. It looked like it was a dove, even though we know it was his spirit. And the voice of God called out from heaven, "This is my son, whom I'm well pleased." And all of this is taking place. Jesus, verse 1, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Well, there's a fun day out in the wilderness. I mean, really? Why not just let the guy get busy, right? Why not just start preaching and teaching God's wonderful truth about the kingdom? Why not just start healing people? Well, there's a reason. You know, I can't completely understand the reason, but there is a reason. He had to be tested by the devil himself, and he was. Satan does his best to take him down. And we get along to verse 2, and he's fasting for 40 hours? No, 40 days. And 40 nights. And then it says the most obvious part of Scripture that you can find, and it's this. He was hungry. You think? I'm hungry after 3 days of fasting. I'm like, seriously? I'm hungry after 3 hours. Anyone say amen? Let alone 3 days or 40 days. So hello, I'm hungry. And of course, that's when the devil wants to get you. When you're hungry. I mean, you are struggling, you're weak, and he comes at you right where it hurts. And he says to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And my thought is, why not? Right? I mean, yeah, sure, I'm hungry. It's been 40 days. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't make them into bread. Why not? Because he says what God's word says. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. He's in Jerusalem now, and he says to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. I even sang that song a couple times. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. That word came to me when I was out with my brother, and we were in the back pasture, and we were hunting gophers. Those good old-fashioned North Dakota flicker-tail gophers, hallelujah, they're made from God. They're awesome. Gotta love the flicker-tail gopher. And I'm out there with my bow, and he's with his bow. You know, we're archers. Archery's like the thing for us at this time. And we're having some fun, and then we have this great plan. Hey, I got a great idea. And I think it was Kyle's idea. Usually the bad ones were his. I'm blaming him. Kyle, if you ever watch this, sorry. So anyway, we decide with our compound bows, let's see who's the bravest. Let's shoot straight up in the air and see if we'll have the guts to just stand there. Sounds like a good idea, right? So we scuff out a spot for each of us just to make sure that if we do get kind of scared that we know where we were. And so I scuff out my spot, he scuffs out his, we got this nice little dirt spot. We're good to go, we both draw our bows and we go one, two, three, foo, and there they go. I'm watching it go, and then I can't see it. I go, I can't see mine anymore. And Kyle's like, me neither. And I'm like, mine was looking really straight. Kyle's like, me too. And by the way, there's no wind today. And as we're standing there, we looked at each other, and we looked up, and we literally, like the movies, just screamed and ran. He about run over me, I about run over him. And we go, woof! We crossed each other this way, and then it's like, whoa! And then we crossed each other again. Because we didn't know where to go. Where are you going to go? There's an arrow coming down. So I ended up by the hay rack. He ended up somewhere in the trees, and we heard the arrows. And Kyle's arrow goes, crash, 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 out, boom! And it landed not too far from where he was in the trees. I'm like, ha-ha. But mine goes, thump, right behind me. And it's a true story. It just blew me away when I turned around to look at where my arrow was, and it was in the middle of the spot that I had scuffed from the earth. And it began to shake. And the word of the Lord came to me that day and said, thou shalt not test the Lord your God. And I said, sorry. Jesus went to the Word of God when he was tested and tempted. And let me say this. You are a man. You are a woman. You are a child. You are a teenager. You are a human being. You are not God. And yet for some reason you think you can withstand the test of the enemy without going to his word? When the Son of God himself, with God who became flesh, goes to his word, I think we better learn the lesson from Jesus. Know the word of God. And understand that your best defense against the enemy's attacks and his lies and his manipulations is the word itself. The scripture will certainly reveal if the word you have heard is not from God. Let that be your guide. Number two, connect to someone who's mature. These are safeguards for hearing God's voice. This is so practical. I guess I do. I do have a verse in just a few minutes here, but I don't have a lot of verses to show you because some of it's just so simple and practical. Here it is. Run your dream, your intuitive impression, your experience past one that you can trust. In other words, go to a brother or sister in Christ who is mature and say, "This is what I think God is saying to me." Actually ask them what they think about that. And a mature believer in Christ will be able to give a good response. I believe that. Go to someone who is mature, someone who understands the Holy Spirit. There was a time, and I shared this, I won't go into all the details, but God told me while I was praying with a woman who needed her third kidney that He was not going to heal her. He told me, as I began my prayer, I started the prayer. I said, "Heavenly Father," and God says, "I'm taking Mert home." I mean, right when I was about to get all holy and thou. And that sounds sarcastic, but it's true. I was a young pastor. I was a little naive about so much. But I began the prayer thinking a pastoral prayer is needed here. And I started my prayer, and God stopped me cold. And I had to stop with this long, awkward pause because He told me, "I'm taking Mert home." And so I stopped praying, and I looked at her, and I said, "Mert, are you ready to go home to be with Jesus if He chooses to call you home?" And she smiled, and she looked so relieved, and she said, "Oh, Pastor, I'm so ready." And then I asked her husband, Doug. I said, "Doug, are you prepared to accept that God may take her home if that's His will?" And he did not want to answer. He sat there quietly for such a long time, and finally he looks up at me, and he says, "Pastor, I'll be honest, I won't like it. But if that's His will, I'm okay with it." Well, I go home, and I'm like wowed by what God just did. I walk in the door, and Tina basically says the same thing to me. "I believe that Mert's going to go home to be with Jesus." I said, "Yep, she is." We had a friend from the church, a powerful prayer warrior from our church there. She called and says, and I think she talked to Tina as well, and basically said, "I believe Mert's going to die. I believe she's going to go home to be with Jesus." And we all had confirmation that God was speaking a specific word, and it was a confirmation we all needed to hear. I encourage you, go to a brother or sister in Christ with your vision or with your word from God, especially if you are unstable in wondering if it's true or not. A mature believer can help you and walk with you through it all. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, also that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speak the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." In other words, you need to grow up in your salvation. You need to mature in your faith walk with God. Others have, take advantage of them in such a way that they can encourage you when you believe you've heard from God. Maturity in the faith will keep you from being deceived by falsehoods. Amen. So there's 2 points. Know the scriptures, connect to a mature believer. And that can be on any number of people. So let the Lord guide you there. And then 3rd point is quite simple, simply this: be cautious. And I'm going to speak really, really matter of fact and truthful about the realities of life. Is that okay? Okay, here it is. If you are struggling with depression, if you have been diagnosed with a mental illness of any kind, then I would encourage you to have very high caution if you think you heard from God. Do you realize how many of us, probably here in this room today, have medication for mental health? It's a high percentage. Higher than you probably even think it is. And here's the reality. There are times, because of the chemical imbalances happening in our brains, we can get messed up. I mean, I'm just being real practical here. If you think you've heard from God, you better be studying the scriptures, and you should go to a mature believer, because you better be extra careful. Because you are more easily deceived than someone who's not working through those things. And I just want you to understand, it's for love and for practicalness that we need to say the most obvious. I know it doesn't sound very spiritual, but it is very practical and necessary. Let me say this. Clinical depression from a chemical imbalance can cause confusion. You know, if we're on the onset of age and we're getting into those later years, let's just be honest. You can have tendencies of forgetfulness, and you can actually hear things that aren't real. That's not anything to say against your spiritual awesomeness of who you are in Christ. It's a biological challenging issue that's just real. You know, I have a wonderful grandma who's with Jesus today that went through Alzheimer's. It was very hard to watch that happen. When I was a kid, I thought it was funny. She went through every name in the book before she got to Kevin. She'd go, Kevin, Mike, or not Kevin. She'd go, Kyle, Myron, Mike. And she'd go through all these names, and finally she'd get to my name. And we thought that was funny, not realizing that that was just the onset of great challenges yet to come. And yet my grandmother never lost sight of the love God had for her. Even when she had a bad day, when she lost most of what she could remember, she never forgot Jesus. I still remember for her birthday, we're gathered around and we're like, Grandma, you want to sing? No, I don't want to sing. No. And she was just crabby. And we just basically said, oh, whatever. Okay, we're going to do it anyway. So we started singing one of the old hymns. And you should have saw her. She just all of a sudden just started to relax. And pretty soon she's singing On a Hill Far Away, one of her favorite songs. And she just started singing right along. But Grandma wouldn't know God's voice from her own dementia. And that's hard. And so if you're working through challenges that are real in that area of your life, please just get another person involved and just say, hey, here's what's going on. Practical, but wise. Medications have side effects. Come on. Medications can get you all loopy and confused. So please, if you're seeking the voice of God, and you should be, understand and know that sometimes medications can make it more difficult. God can speak to you, but I believe extra precautions must be in place to lessen the chance of harm or misunderstandings. So please take that with all of the love I have in my heart if you're working through any of these challenges. It is best to refrain. And I know I kind of hesitate to say this one, but I did write it down. Honestly, it's best to refrain from acting upon subjective inclinations and impressions. It is better that you simply don't do that without first going through some steps of safeguarding it. Okay? That sounds so spiritual. So Pentecostal. I'm sorry, I've seen too many people hurt. I just have. I mean, it's one thing to say a boy likes a girl and he says, God told me I'm supposed to marry you, and he basically gets his heart ripped out from the inside because it wasn't God. That's hard enough, and that is hard, amen? That's a hard thing to go through. But when you're talking about things that are life-changing to the degree that you might die, maybe you should seek some counsel on that and just be careful, extra careful. Rely on more objective communication from God. Scripture and church ministries would be a great place to start. But here's the cool thing. Even if you're struggling with all those things, I believe God can still speak to you in a very clear and wonderful way. And it will be affirmed and reaffirmed by brothers and sisters in Christ. I still remember when Tina and I were married in Cambridge, Minnesota, and it was a beautiful wedding. It was a quick thing from the time that we said, let's get married, to where we actually did. That's a fun story right there in and of itself. But we're standing there at the altar, and it's finally to the point, you may now kiss the bride. And of course, I was pretty excited about that. and I gave her a good old smooch. And she was really, really wowed because I'm this... No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea if I'm a good kisser or not. Don't even ask her, please. Don't ask. I don't want to know. Let me live in my dream. So I kiss her, and one of the ladies from the church busted out with a word from God. And here's my feelings on it. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's what I wanted to say. And you should have saw the look on Tina's face. I mean, and we got this picture of her, and it's one of the most beautiful pictures that has ever been taken of Tina. I mean, it's just awesome. But her look is like, really? And it's so really good. So I was like, wow, she's so hot. And it was a thus saith the Lord thing. I mean, I had already said this to Tina. I said, that lady will say a word from God at the drop of a hat. I mean, if something, any remotely emotion goes on, whoo, oh, and she's got to say it. I'm like, really? Come on, that can't be God. She needs to take some pills or something, you know? But here's the weird thing about the whole deal. She gave a word, and it was basically using the scripture that God gave us when Jesus said the words, my peace I give unto you, my peace I give, not as the world gives. And I can't get rid of it. It stuck with me. It stuck with us. We've seen untold challenges and difficulties of life, marriage, ministry, you name it. And every single time it starts to get hard, that word comes back. And that lady that I was so angry with, she just spoke right into my soul, spoke right into our marriage, and it's really from God. And I'm thinking, how dare you? And here it was him all along. And I think, wow. Well, who was the unspiritual one that day? It wasn't her, it was me. And I had to apologize to God for it. And by the time I recognized it for what it was, I don't think she was even around anymore. She was in glory and probably had no idea I forgave her. Oh. But I think it's wise to be cautious nevertheless. If you would have told me that was really God's word that day, I would have said, no way. No way. But God kept bringing it back time and time again. So the last point is simple. Seek confirmation. The confirmations are probably in the hundreds since that day. And I'm not stretching it. There are so many times where things just went wrong and God came right back and said, my peace I give unto you. And it was like, don't forget. He literally sanctioned the marriage with his peace from the very beginning. And I still remember driving on to our great, wonderful plans of our honeymoon at Valley Fair. Woo-hoo-hoo! And if you don't know what Valley Fair is, it's just an amusement park. That's all we could do. That's all we could afford. And we're on our way there. My aunts and uncles and cousins went by and they go, hoo-hoo-hoo, and made us all embarrassed as we're driving, hoo, on our honeymoon. And I still remember after they went by, and I was all embarrassed, and they were going, ha, 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 ha. And I remember saying to Tina, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know this, it's going to be an adventure. And it has been such a wonderful adventure ever since. And God keeps bringing it back, bringing it back, bringing it back, confirming, 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 confirming. And he will do that when he gives you a word. And you may not have to have 100 confirmations, but you will have more than one. And when you hear from God, you will know it's him. Not only because of the Spirit of God who is in you, not only because you know the Scriptures, but also because you have heard it from the mature, beloved brother or sister or parent figure or grandfather figure, because you are cautious. You don't want to make mistakes, but you confirm it by his word and his truth and others that consider that and they say, yes, this is him. And it comes in so many different ways. So seek confirmations when you believe you've heard from God. And I believe that you will find victory and you will see miracles take place. I'm just going to say, I believe that it was absolutely God's plan for us to have some beautiful children in our home, to have their wonderful mom and her boyfriend a part of our church to be attending. I believe this was absolutely confirmation from the beginning to the end. because I certainly didn't have the plans of walking into a type of daddy role overnight. It just wasn't on the radar. And God brought it to us, and it was like, bam, this is him. This is what we're going to do. Those things, as you trust and you confirm and reaffirm, bring about miracles and victories like you cannot explain. There are safeguards you need to have in place. I can't imagine what we'd be doing if we didn't have that confirmation and safeguard of knowing this was God. I mean, Crystal, we'd be like, whoa, right? But it's not that at all. It's just knowing we're doing his will for something greater than we could ever imagine, for his glory. And that's just like one of 1,000 examples I could give. For whatever reason, that's the one I chose today. Seek confirmation. Last verse, we're in Ephesians already, verse 4 through verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. Here's the bottom line. There is one body, there is one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. I wanted you to see the importance of his word, the confirmations of his word being given to you as a personal person, as he speaks to your heart. He will not tell one person one thing and another person another. It will not happen. And so when the guy comes up to the girl and says, God told me that I'm supposed to marry you, it's okay to have that affirmed and confirmed, because there is one God. And he will say, yes, it is so. In his own way. And that's just one example of so many ways that we can find his affirmation. Would you stand with me as we close? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And we're going to open these altars for you. If you want to come forward and you want to just kneel at his altar and just pray, seek his face, if there's things God's doing in your life, maybe you haven't heard from him for a little while, you'd like to take some time just to hear his voice in prayer, these altars are open for you. And we're going to sing a song that simply says, come just as you are. And know that he hears you. And after we sing this song and have just a wrap up together, we'll pray a closing prayer.
Just as you are.
These altars are open if you want to come.
Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever. Life everlasting and strength for today. Taste the living water and never thirst again. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come receive Christ the King. Come and live forever. Life everlasting. Strength for today. taste the living water, never thirst again. Life everlasting and strength for today. Taste the living water and never thirst again.
Verse 2.
Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come receive Christ the King. Come and live forever. Come receive Christ the King. Come and live forevermore.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we're so thankful that we can hear your voice, that you do speak to us by your word, through your Holy Spirit. We're thankful, Lord, that we can have safeguards in place to make sure that we do hear from you and not be deceived by the enemy. You know, the passage that we used as an example is extreme. I know that. But it's still disturbing to realize people that thought they were doing your work were actually doing the work in a way of the enemy, even though it was your plan. It was a lying spirit. How they didn't know the difference is disturbing to me. Lord, I don't ever want to be deceived by a lying spirit. Help me to know your word. Help me to know you so well that I could never be deceived. Help me to have friends, mature believers that I can go to, that can help verify that I know I've heard from you. Help all of us, Lord, to work together for your glory. There is one God. You're it. One Spirit. You are the Spirit. May we find you. May we walk in faith and see the miraculous things that you planned for us come to fruition as we walk with you in Jesus' name. I pray your blessing on each and every one as we go from this place, as we go into our mission field. We ask this in your name. Amen.